Welcome to the New Life Millbrook Weekly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about this podcast or other resources, please visit nlmillbrook.com.
And hallelujah. He is the God of miracles. Amen. And I was, as I was praying, I was thinking about the day of Pentecost when the people said that they heard them speak, everyone in their own language. And, you know, I believe that God took the words that were coming out of the apostles' mouth as they were preaching and opened the ears of each person to be able to hear them in their own language. They weren't speaking all those different languages at one time. But God can do that because he knows right where each person is. So, you know, I trust that no matter what I say tonight, that he can take that word and minister it to you and bring life into you right where you are today, because he knows exactly where each one of us is, where we are, I'll say that. And he knows exactly what each one of us needs. Amen? So it doesn't matter. I could stand up here and say, Hershey bar, Hershey bar, Hershey bar. And I just believe God would anoint it. They're raising their hands. Yes. See, you got happy already. See what God can do. Yeah. So anyway, I started last week talking about legacy, and I want to continue that tonight. I want to talk to you about your legacy in this world, how you can minister life to people. You know, each one of us you want to leave something here when you go home to be with the Lord. And, you know, that's one thing I was saying, not just because I'm getting older, but because, you know, we're all going to go home and be with the Lord one day. Every person in here, that is the one thing we all have in common. And I believe if Jesus comes tomorrow, we're all going to go with him then too. So praise the Lord, however it works, you know, it's going to happen. And so each one of us should be able to leave some type of imprint. I want to leave an imprint on this earth. I don't want to just, you know, I shared last week about going through some old pictures and stuff like that, and I meant to bring those little buttons again today and forgot once again. And how as I was looking at those pictures, you know, I don't know who those people are. I'm related to them, but I don't have a clue who those people are. And so, you know, the reality is in a few more generations, that's going to be us. Somebody's going to look at these pictures of these people back, you know, in the 21st century, and they're going to be like, who are those? You know, we don't know who we are. So, you know, I want to leave something here on this earth that's going to change somebody's life and leave some type of a legacy. Amen? And I hope you do too. One of the scriptures I read last week was Romans 4:3 in the Amplified, and I'm going to just kind of go over a few things quickly from last week. It says, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed and trusted in God, and it was credited to his account as righteousness, right living, and right standing with God. So not only was Abraham the beginning of a completely new race of people, but he left us a legacy of how to walk in faith. And I talked about that a lot last week, and how he left a legacy of how we can be a friend of God, and we can know God, and we can follow after him. And that is part of the legacy that Abraham left here on this earth for all generations, forever and ever. And he didn't know he was going to do that. I read a definition out of MacmillanDictionary.com, the definition of legacy. And it said that something that someone has achieved that continues to exist after they stop working or they die. And so we want to have something that we have each achieved that will be here when we leave this earth. Amen? Whatever happens in our lives. And, you know, I made the statement that about many, many of us thinking about, you know, one day what we're going to leave to our children and what we're going to leave to our grandchildren, and how those are usually monetary things, money, houses, family heirlooms, or whatever those things may be, which all that is very good. And as I read in the scriptures in Proverbs 13:22, it says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. So that is biblical, and that is a good thing to do. And I hope, you know, we plan on doing that if we don't spend every dime we have before we go home to be with the Lord, which we may do that too. But anyway, but you know, we want to leave something for our children, to leave the next generation, you know, better off than we were. But it is more important, while those things are good, it is more important to leave a legacy of faith behind, to leave a legacy of who God is behind. That's more important than anything. Because if our children and our children's children and our children's children's children can grab a hold of faith, they can change their generations also, because we are going to be gone one day. Amen? So I know that if we impact a life with the gospel, with the love of God here on this earth, whether we know it or not, because sometimes people touch people's lives and they don't even know they have touched that person's life. There was a girl that I went to high school with. She was in my homeroom class, 9th grade through the 12th grade, because in our school, homerooms were assigned by last names. And her last name was Smith and mine was Sturman, so we were in homeroom together for 4 years of high school. And this girl was a very, very sweet girl. Really, she loved the Lord. She was a good Christian girl. And she was sweet and kind to everybody, no matter how nerdy you were or no matter how the opposite end of the spectrum you were. And she and I were at opposite ends of the spectrum of life. Not that I was mean or anything, but we certainly didn't hang out with the same crowd. But you know what? She was always kind, and she was always sweet. And that left an impression on me. How long have we been out of high school? I don't know. A long time, a long, long time. And I still remember that to this day. Now, she doesn't know that. I've never gone up and told her, you know, while we were in high school, you really impressed me with how sweet you were to everybody all the time. But 4 years of high school, I can honestly say I never heard an ugly word come out of her mouth, and I never heard anybody say anything ugly about her. That's quite an impressive feat in a very large public high school. So we may not even know it. And like I said last week, Abraham did not know that he was going to be known as the father of faith one day. He didn't know that he was going to change the world forever. All he knew was he had set out to obey God. And he had set out to get to know the God that he had met. That's all he knew. He was following. He was just walking in faith, doing those things. And I was thinking about that, and I thought about Alan. And I thought about the fact that he has made the statement many, many times that when he had determined to get to know, to spend the rest of his life getting to know the God that came into that room that night. That was it. After he had an encounter with God, he didn't say, I'm going to go into full-time ministry, I'm going to be a pastor, I'm going to do this. All he did was decide, you know what, I've met God or had an encounter with God, and I'm going to get to know this God. But he didn't know the effect that was going to have on, number one, our generations. Because praise God, both our kids love God, both our kids are serving God, and both our kids are training their children up to do the same. So praise the Lord for that. But he didn't know that was going to happen. He didn't know he was ever going to pastor. He didn't know he was going to be the principal of a Christian school and then eventually run the whole shebang. He didn't know that. He didn't know he was going to work for Canaan Land Ministries. He didn't know all the lives that he was going to touch. But all he knew was he was going to seek after God. And I'm telling you, there's been a lot of lives that man has touched over the years that I know has left an imprint and left an impact on this earth. And those lives are touching other lives, which are touching other lives. But you know what? None of us know what lives we're going to touch. But what the thing is, that we need to be faithful following after the things that God has called us to do. It's as simple as that when you get right down to it, isn't it? It's by our everyday living and being conscious of the fact that the people we come in contact with can benefit by interacting with us because we have the greater love, the greater one living in us. But you know what? We need to make a conscious thought. That needs to be in our conscience. We need to understand that we have that ability to change people's lives. Not because we are so great and wonderful, not because we're so special, but because the greater one lives on the inside of us. We have the power of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, and we need to be conscious of the fact that we can affect the people that we come in contact with every day of our lives. 2 Corinthians 6:16 says in the Amplified, "For we are the temple of the living God, even as God said, I will dwell in and with and among them, and will walk in and with and among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." So we have a God who is walking in, living among, and is with us every day of our lives. So we should be impacting other people's lives just by our mere existence of who we are. But we can't act like a heathen and do the same thing. Paul didn't know he was literally going to change the world. Paul had a zeal for God even before his salvation, even before he really knew who God was. Paul had a zeal for God. He not only had a great zeal for God, but he understood the love of God. Paul had an understanding of the kindness and the mercy of God, and he made it his mission to share that with everybody that he came in contact with. Paul was on a mission, and his mission was to introduce people to Jesus once he was introduced to Jesus, and who Jesus is, and what Jesus can do in and through their lives. And he set out to do that. Did he know that he was going to be the author of all the epistles in the New Testament? Of course not. He didn't know any of that. Did he know that he was literally going to change the world? He didn't know that. All Paul did was set out to introduce people to Jesus, introduce people to God's way of living and doing right. That's all he set out to do. But yet he changed the world. So how do we leave a legacy, and how do we impact someone's life? One of the ways we do that is by loving others. Loving others and being kind to them. That's one way we leave a legacy here on this earth. It is one of the ways that you can literally change someone's life is by showing them love. We know Paul wrote the love chapter in 1 Corinthians, and he gave the definition in that chapter of what love is and what love looks like. But at the end, you know, the Bible's in chapters, so you go to chapter 14, verse 1, he says, "Eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim and your great quest." And then he goes on and he talks about the spiritual gifts. But he says, eagerly pursue and desire to walk in this love, the love that he describes in 1 Corinthians 13. In Romans 13, 8, in the Amplified Version, he says keep out of debt and owe no man anything except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor, who practices loving others, has fulfilled the law relating to one's fellow man, meeting all of its requirements. And want to hone in on that, who practices loving others. It's a practice that we do. Like I said earlier, we be conscious of the fact that we are affecting other people's lives. So we be conscious of the fact, what is our behavior telling someone? Are we walking in the love of God toward those people? He says to practice loving others. And you know, it does take practice. Because everybody isn't lovable, you know. They're just not. And so how do we act toward people that aren't lovely, that aren't lovable? You know, we got to check ourselves. Sometimes we have to check our attitudes at the door or wherever we are and, you know, and say, okay, I've got to be conscious of my behavior, who I am, who I represent, and what I am saying to this person. Now, I am not saying you let people run over you. I'm not saying we'd be a doormat to people. In fact, I also do believe in tough love, especially when it comes to parenting and those type of things. That's another type of love. But I'm talking about that practice of showing the love of God on a daily basis, of being kind to people. And that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about being kind. 1 John 4:7 through 9 in the Message translation. Let me get a sip of water. 1 John 4:7-9. Don't even know how to operate this fancy thing here. My beloved friends, let us continue to love each other. Since love comes from God, everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. The person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God, because God is love. So you can't know him if you don't love. So we have to ask ourselves, am I revealing who God is to those that I come in contact with? Am I showing his love? Of the many definitions of love that Paul gave, he said, in a nutshell, love is patient, love is kind, and love never fails. Love is patient and love is kind. Have you any of y'all seen those billboards that say just be kind? The first time I saw that, it just put a smile on my face. I was like, just be kind. Yeah, just be kind. And you know, I don't know how many thousands of people drive by those billboards, but do you know they're all over the country? They're not just here. Lamar Billboard Company is actually the one that is putting those out. And they have different things. Just be kind, just be nice, just be friendly. And they're all over the place. It's not just here in Montgomery and Prattville, Alabama. And I thought, what a neat thing to do. And I looked it up. And the owner of Lamar Billboard Company said, well, there's just enough negativity in the world. I thought it would be good. We thought it would be good to have some positive words out there. And I thought, you know, I don't know if these people are Christian people or not, but you know what? They're putting something out there to build up, edify, and hopefully change some people's minds when they read that and get that into there. Just be kind. Just be kind. You know, it's not that hard to just be kind. It's not that hard to just be nice. 2 Corinthians 5:14 through 15 in the New International Version. 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15. It says, for Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So the love of God compels us not to just live for ourselves, but to live for him. And when we live for him, we act like him, and we know that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We know that Jesus gave his life for us. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ gave his life for us. So when we live for him, we begin to live a life of giving. And I'm not just talking about monetary giving. I'm talking about giving of ourselves in a Christ-like manner and in kindness and in love. If you skip down to verse 20 in 2 Corinthians 5, it says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. He is making his appeal to humanity through us as we walk in love and we reveal who he is on this earth. We reveal his nature here upon this earth. It compels us to show his love to those that we have influence over and to those that we come in contact with. And like I said earlier, nothing can change a heart like love. Everybody needs love. Y'all remember the old song, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. That's the only thing there's just too little of. Well, you know what? That even seems to be even more true today. People are angry. They're self-centered. Like I have never seen in my life. And I'm not just talking about young people. This world has turned into such a me world. But you know what? The media promotes that all the time. It's all about me. You know, what can benefit me? What makes me better? What makes me happy? You know, started years and years ago about, you know, if it feels good, do it. Remember that? Y'all old people, it feels good, do it. You know, and so, I mean, it's just perpetuated and perpetuated and perpetuated ever since then. And so it gets to be, it doesn't matter. There isn't right and wrong. It's whatever it is that I need and I want that's going to make me, going to fulfill my desires on this earth. Well, that is Antichrist right there. And so when you show kindness and you show love to somebody, you know, my goodness, if somebody shows kindness to somebody nowadays, it makes national news. Why? Because that's such an oddity for somebody to go out of their way to be nice to somebody. So, you know, and we've all seen the videos, the pay it forward videos, you know, where somebody does something nice for somebody and that somebody watches it. And so then that person, it lifts them up and then they do something nice for somebody and it just, you know, keeps going and keeps going. It's contagious. So I want to read you some things about being kind, because being loving and kind not only benefits the recipient, it benefits the one who is doing the act of kindness and love. And I want to read you some findings from some different studies. The positive effects of kindness are experienced in the brain of everyone who witnessed the act, that whole paying forward thing I was just talking about, improving their mood and making them significantly more likely to pay it forward. This means one good deed in a crowded area can create a domino effect and improve the day of dozens of people. And that can be something as little as stopping and opening a door for someone, or just helping someone out, for heaven's sakes. One day I saw this little elderly lady. She was in her car in the Walmart parking lot, or somebody's car. Actually, I was kind of angry. I don't know if I really did this. I did it out of love and anger all at one time. But she was so frail, and she was so frail, and she's trying. Oh, my Lord, it was so hot outside. And she's trying to push the car door open. And she couldn't even, she was so frail, she couldn't even get the car door open. And my love for her prompted me to go over there and open the car door for her. My anger to whoever left that little old lady in the car prompted me to go to Walmart, go in there, get the little electric cart, put her little happy self in the electric cart, and get her into that air conditioning store and find out the person's name that was with her and call them over the PA system to come and help their elderly person out. Now, I don't know if that blessed anybody but that little old lady or not, but you know what? We just be kind. When we can see somebody that has a need, you just help with that need. You know, it's not that big a deal. Getting something off the shelf for somebody that needs it, that's not that big a deal. But in today's world, it seems to be that way. It seems to be a big deal. All right, other findings about, and I want you to realize, too, we're talking about scientific findings or studies that have been done, not considering the anointing, not considering the love of God, just considering common humanity doing nice things, okay? Kindness increases the love hormone. We all need more love. We just said that. Witnessing acts of kindness produces oxytocin, occasionally referred to as the love hormone, which aids in lowering blood pressure and improving our overall heart health. Oxytocin also increases our self-esteem and optimism, which is extra helpful when we're in anxious or shy in social situations. It increases your lifespan. People who volunteer tend to experience fewer aches and pains. How about that one? Giving help to others protects overall health twice as much as aspirin protects against heart disease. People 55 and older who volunteer for two or more organizations have an impressive 44% lower likelihood of dying early, and that's after sifting out every other contributing factor, including physical health, exercise, gender habits like smoking, marital status, and many more. This is a stronger effect than exercising four times a week or going to church. So if you want to live a long time, get up off yourself and help people. Kindness increases pleasure. According to research from Emory University, when you are kind to one to another person, your brain's pleasure and reward center lights up as if you were the recipient of the good deed and not the giver. This phenomenon is called the helper's high. So if y'all want to get high, just help somebody. Don't have to do anything else. Kindness increases serotonin. Like most medical antidepressants, kindness stimulates the production of serotonin. This feel-good chemical heals your wounds, calms you down, and makes you happy. And you know, all these are biblical things, because the Word declares that if we give, we receive. So if we give out of kindness, if we give love, we are going to receive back. So it's just all biblically based, but this is not biblical. Kindness decreases your pain. Engaging in acts of kindness produces endorphins, the brain's natural painkiller. It decreases stress. Perpetually kind people have 23% less cortisol. I am so kind, I should have very low cortisol in my body. The stress hormone. And age slower. We have found the fountain of youth. Just be kind. You age slower than the average population if you just be kind. Anxiety. A group of highly anxious individuals performed at least 6 acts of kindness a week. After 1 month, there was a significant increase in positive moods, relationship satisfaction, and a decrease in social avoidance in socially anxious individuals. Depression. It decreases depression. Stephen Post of Case Western Reserve University School of Medicine found that when we give of ourselves everything from life's satisfaction to self-realization and physical health is significantly improved. Mortality is delayed, depression is reduced, and well-being and good fortune are increased. Last one, blood pressure. It lowers your blood pressure. Committing acts of kindness lowers blood pressure. According to Dr. David R. Hamilton, acts of kindness create emotional warmth, which releases a hormone known as oxytocin. Oxytocin causes the release of a chemical called nitric oxide, which dilates the blood vessels. This reduces blood pressure, and therefore oxytocin is known as a cardioprotective hormone. It protects the heart by lowering blood pressure. So just be kind. If you want to live long, just be kind. If you want to live healthy and strong, if you don't want to have pain and be depressed, just be kind. Do acts of kindness. But we do it because we've got the greater one living on the inside of us, and he compels us with his love and with his kindness. So, you know, just doing a random act of kindness now and then is a good thing. And I truly believe that those are prompted by the Spirit of God, even in an unbeliever, because, you know, God will use just about anybody to do something for somebody else. Being loving and kind is putting others first. It's taking time from our very busy schedules to do something for someone else without consideration of what is in it for me. Because if you're thinking about what is in it for you, that's going to have the reverse action of the kindness action that we've just gotten done talking about. Because you're going to have the anticipation of somebody doing something for you, which is going to create an anxiousness in you, which also will create dissatisfaction and frustration if it doesn't come about. So what you want to do is just be kind without anything attached, and then you reap the rewards that we just talked about. Let alone, you know, we reap what we sow. Amen. Being loving and kind is getting up off of your rear ends and sacrificing our times for others, using our gifts and talents to help someone even when we may not feel like it. It's not just when we feel like doing something. It's when we do it even when we don't feel like doing it. We just learned that giving ourselves can improve our health and increase our lifespan. But the sad thing is the older we get, the more complacent we get, the less we do for other people. And so sometimes as we get older, we get the attitude of, well, you know, if I've already done all that, I'm going to sit in my rocking chair and I'm going to rock. Well, that's how you die. It's because you just check out and you don't keep participating in life. But if, as I just read, being kind can help increase your lifespan by doing things for others, just going out of our way to help someone. But kindness is more of an attitude that perpetuates the action behind that attitude. Rick Renner says the word kind portrays a willingness to serve and to change in order to meet the needs of others. A willingness to serve and a willingness to change in order to meet the needs of others. And like I said, I'm not talking about letting people run you over or, you know, becoming a doormat all the time, but I'm just talking about doing things. The heart of God is loving and kind. Love is kind, is what the Bible tells us. And when we all have the fruit of the Spirit dwelling on the inside of us. And so we have the ability and should have the compulsion to just be kind to people. We know love comes from God, and His love is shed abroad in our hearts. I said, even a heathen can be kind and kind and caring and can be prompted by God. You know, there are so many philanthropic groups out there that are doing good things. I mean, they're digging wells and areas where people don't have water. They're sheltering the homeless. They're doing all kinds of good things. And that's a good thing. You know, I believe God moves on the hearts of those people. They don't know it's God, but they have the ability to see a need. They have the ability to get those things accomplished, and they do it. Somebody out there is crying for help. And if God doesn't have one of His people to do it, He'll use whoever He can get to do it. So praise God for those people. Now, they're not necessarily going to heaven when they leave this earth. You know, they're not necessarily going to reap the reward of what they've done when they leave this earth. But praise God, they're blessing somebody here on this earth. And hopefully that kindness will soften that person's heart to where they'll cry out, they'll seek the God that sent that person to be a blessing to them, which has happened. Showing love, like I said, softens a heart, which will open that person up to the gospel. How many ministries use outreaches to be able to preach the gospel? Use get food outreaches, building shelters. Joyce Myers, my world, that woman will go in and they will rebuild an entire community after a devastation. And then they set up areas so that those people, like I know one community they rebuilt after a monsoon went through, they set up like a bank in the church. And the people had to go to the church, and they were each family was allowed at a certain amount of money, and they helped them rebuild their community with boats and nets and sewing machines and lots of stuff. But they had to go to the church to get the money in order to go out and purchase the things that they needed. I mean, they are a well-oiled machine, let me tell you what. And then they can preach the gospel to those people because their hearts are open. They're there to help. They're going to listen. Whether they really want to or not, they're going to listen, and they're going to hear the gospel. So she's changed whole communities by doing those type of things. While random acts of kindness and love can affect a person's life, it is that consistent walk of love that truly leaves a legacy here on this earth. It's what those who see us and witness the most in our lives, we impact them more than anyone. Well, we can go out and we can do something sweet and kind for a little old lady or for somebody in the grocery store or wherever. We can give money to a homeless person. It's those people that see us each and every day that we're going to impact the most by showing them the love of God and by being kind to them. Whether it's people at your workplace, whether it's people in your family, whether it's people in your neighborhood, it doesn't matter. Those people that see us the most, that's where you're going to leave that lasting impact. That's where you're going to leave that legacy behind as we move on and leave this earth. Joyce Meyer says that you should determine every day that you are going to be a blessing to someone. Determine that you are going to do something good for someone, because what you focus on is what you will do. If we don't make a conscious effort of it, if we don't say to ourselves, today I'm going to show someone love. Today I'm going to purpose in my heart to be kind to someone. If we don't let that be in the forefront of our thought processes, we'll just go through the business of our day, not being mean to anybody necessarily, but not going out of our way to be kind to someone and to be a blessing to someone. I was listening to Joyce Myers not too long ago, and she was talking about, basically about this very thing, about focusing on that and having that on your mind. And she made the statement, she said, I already have a plan of what I'm going to do this afternoon when I leave here. See, she already had a plan somebody she was going to bless, something she was going to do. I don't know what it was, but she already had a plan to be a blessing to someone. Sometimes we have to just put it in our plans. Because if we don't put it in our plan, we're just going to go through our day. And, you know, I'm not saying it can't accidentally happen and something come up and you be a blessing to someone. But we want a purpose in our hearts to be kind and to show the love of God to people. And then that is one of the ways that we can leave a lasting legacy here upon this earth. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your love. Father, you have shown us such great kindness. Father, your word declares that love is kind. And Father, we determine in our hearts today to display your love here upon this earth to those that we come in contact with. Father, to let them know of your great love, of your loving kindness, Father, through our actions here upon this earth. Father, I just bless the people tonight. I thank you for each and every one of them. Father, I thank you that your blessings are upon them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Have a great week.